Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we're going to cut through all the noise, sift through the data, and, well, distill complex information into those aha moments that genuinely make you feel well-informed. Today, we're plunging into a sector you might never have really considered before, yet it underpins nearly every major industry out there, industrial gases. We're talking about a world that, surprisingly, is right at the very heart of global manufacturing, healthcare, and that massive energy transition currently reshaping our planet. Our focus.
A company called Air Liquid SA, or AIPA if you follow the markets, they're a true world leader in gases, technologies, and services.
Yeah, and our deep dive today draws from some really
So let's unpack this. Air Liquid, at its core, operates as a global leader, primarily through its gas and services segment that accounts for a huge chunk, like 90%.
It's multi-layered.
Exactly. This multifaceted approach is what the analysis so aptly describes as building a fortress of stability and cultivating a kind of self-balancing portfolio.
Yeah.
This unique structure is designed, almost intentionally it feels like, to insulate the company remarkably well from the typical turbulence and fluctuations of broader economic cycles.
And what's really fascinating is how they build that fortress. Their gas and services business isn't just one big thing. It's strategically segmented into four distinct yet interconnected pillars, you could say, each contributing its unique strength to the overall resilience. First, we have large industries. That makes up a pretty significant chunk, 28% of their gas and services revenue.
Okay.
This segment is the historical backbone, really the bedrock of their operations. Mm-hmm. Here, Air Liquid supplies essential industrial gases, think oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, to these huge foundational customers. Sectors like chemicals, refining, steel.
The big players.
The really big players. And this supply often happens through vast proprietary pipeline networks. Think of it less like a typical manufacturer and more like a utility company, but, you know, for industrial gases.
Right, that makes sense.
Once they've made that massive upfront capital investment in those sprawling air separation units or, say, advanced hydrogen production facilities, they become deeply integrated into their customers' operations. It fosters these incredibly deep, long-term partnerships that are just incredibly difficult to dislodge.
Sticky.
Very sticky. These are literally pipelines of predictable revenue.
And then you mentioned the largest piece of the pie.
Right, industrial merchant.
Yeah.
That can... all the way up to mid-sized manufacturers who need larger volumes delivered in small on-site storage units. The sheer breadth and diversity of this customer base provides an extraordinary level of resilience against, say, localized economic downturns.
Yeah, you're not reliant on one sector or one region.
Exactly. And here's where the strategic genius, I think, truly shines. This segment gives them substantial pricing power.
Okay, that's crucial.
It really is. The source highlights that in fiscal year 2024, even though the global economic environment was a bit subdued, they managed to achieve a strong 4.0% price effect, which basically means they successfully pushed through price increases that actually offset softer sales volumes.
So they maintain profitability even with less volume.
Precisely. And this trend of robust pricing continued into the first half of 2025, contributing a healthy 2.6% price effect to their performance. That ability to maintain or even increase prices, even when demand might waver slightly, is a testament to the essential nature of their products and, well, that fragmented customer base we talked about.
Indeed. Okay, moving to another critical segment, and one you described as defensive.
Yes, healthcare. This accounts for 15% of gas and services revenue. This is a high-growth area, and it is, by its very nature, structurally decoupled from the more volatile industrial economic cycles. You know, people still need medical oxygen regardless of GDP growth.
Right. Essential services.
Absolutely. Here, Air Liquid provides vital medical gases directly to hospitals. And increasingly, they're expanding into home healthcare services, supporting patients with conditions like sleep apnea or diabetes who need oxygen at home.
Ah, so it's moving beyond just the hospital setting.
Definitely. And this business rides these powerful long-term demographic tailwinds. The global phenomenon of aging populations, the accelerating shift towards out-of-hospital care models.
Things that aren't going away anytime soon.
Not at all. Their first half 2025 results really underscore this stability, showing robust 5% growth.
Yeah.
And they're actively strengthening this segment through strategic bolt-on acquisitions. Like, they made two recent purchases in Germany's home healthcare market.
Smart moves.
It truly provides a stable, predictable growth engine, pretty much regardless of broader economic shifts.
And finally, the fourth pillar. Sounds like it's more high tech.
That's right. Electronics. Making up about 9% of gas and services revenue. This is where Air Liquid supplies ultra-high purity gases and advanced materials. Things that are absolutely critical for semiconductor manufacturing.
Okay, so chips. Very relevant today.
Extremely relevant. Mm-hmm. With the relentless global demand for more powerful, smaller, more efficient chips, driven by everything from AI and data centers to EVs and advanced consumer gadgets, this segment is experiencing, well, explosive growth.
Yeah.
And adding to this tailwind is the global trend of onshoring chip production, often for geopolitical reasons, supply chain security.
Right, bringing manufacturing back home.
Exactly. The source gives a really compelling example. Air Liquid investing over $250 million in Idaho specifically to supply Micron technology.
Micron, one of the big memory chip producers.
One of the biggest. This vividly illustrates how deeply embedded their business is within the very foundations of cutting-edge technology and the whole digital economy.
So when you put all these pieces together,
yep.
The large industry space, the flexible industrial merchant, the defensive healthcare, the high-growth electronics.
You start to see the strategic brilliance, right? Large industries provides that deeply stable, almost utility-like base. Industrial merchant offers immense flexibility and that crucial pricing power across a vast customer ecosystem. The healthcare segment acts as a defensive, demographic-driven growth engine, pretty much immune to industrial cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And electronics taps directly into those high-tech, high-growth, secular trends of digital transformation and AI.
Mm.
This masterful blend truly creates a portfolio that is uniquely resilient to economic shocks. It's really a masterclass in risk mitigation through deliberate and diverse structuring.
What's truly captivating, I think, is how this extensively diversified model is then meticulously underpinned by an incredibly robust contractual framework.
Yeah.
This framework isn't just, you know, a bunch of agreements. It acts as a formidable competitive advantage, a real moat around their business.
Absolutely. A moat is a good word for it.
This isn't simply about selling products. It's about engineering exceptional revenue visibility and transforming a substantial portion of their income into what the analysis aptly terms a predictable bond-like annuity.
Yeah.
This is where the profound implications for their stability really become clear.
Indeed, this contractual framework is, in my view, one of their strongest competitive advantages. Firstly, the long-term durations of these contracts are just paramount. And the large industries and electronics segments where Air Liquid makes significant capital investments right on a customer site, building dedicated production facilities or pipeline connections, contracts typically span an impressive 15 to 20 years.
15 to 20 years. That's incredible visibility.
It really is. Even smaller on-site units within the industrial merchant business are often secured for up to 15 years. This provides truly exceptional visibility into future revenues, far beyond what you would typically find in most other industrial companies. I mean, imagine running a business where you have such clarity over a substantial portion of your revenue for over a decade.
That's incredible planning certainty. Talk about de-risking.
Exactly. Financial de-risking at its finest.
And that level of de-risking only intensifies with these take-or-pay clauses you mentioned.
Yes, that's a critical, almost ingenious feature embedded in their long-term agreements. Basically, customers are contractually obligated to pay for a minimum volume of gas, regardless of whether they actually consume it up to that minimum threshold.
Okay.
This acts as a powerful shield against demand destruction during economic downturns. It ensures a stable baseload of revenue and robustly protects Air Liquid's return on its invested capital.
So even if a customer's factory slows down,
Air Liquid still gets paid for that predetermined minimum volume. It essentially transfers a significant portion of that volume risk directly to the customer.
Wow. And the final piece of this contractual puzzle is indexation.
And perhaps the most crucial element, especially in today's volatile macroeconomic climate, is price indexation. Their sales prices are systematically indexed to variable input costs, most notably energy sources like electricity and natural gas, but also to broader inflation.
So they're protected from rising costs.
This embedded mechanism allows Air Liquid to automatically pass through these volatile costs directly to its customers. So they can see... Exactly. But what truly mattered was that their absolute level of operating profit, the actual money they earned, remained remarkably protected.
That's an extraordinary level of resilience. It's like a built-in shock absorber for their profitability.
That's a great way to put it, a built-in shock absorber.
That's a profound insight. So this business model effectively externalizes a significant chunk of its primary operational risks, volume volatility, input price volatility directly onto its customers.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's not just an advantage, it's a fundamental structural design. It transforms a substantial part of Air Liquid's revenue stream into something incredibly stable and predictable.
Mm-hmm.
This engineered stability and robust risk mitigation is, I think, a core structural advantage.
Yeah.
And it makes a strong case for, well, maybe a premium valuation.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
But the resilience of Air Liquid isn't solely derived from its diverse business segments and that ingenious contractual framework. Their geographic footprint also plays a critical stabilizing role.
That's right. Their geographic footprint is remarkably balanced. It seems designed not just for global reach, but for truly diversified growth. Air Liquid avoids over-reliance on any single region. I think the numbers for 2023 showed their gas and services revenue split almost evenly. America's 39%, Europe 37%.
And a significant, rapidly expanding presence in Asia Pacific at 20%.
Yeah.
Very balanced.
And this balanced global reach is, well, it's a strategic masterpiece, isn't it?
It really is. It allows Air Liquid to maintain a strong, highly cash generative foothold in mature, developed economies like Europe and North America. They provide stable, predictable demand.
Mm-hmm.
But simultaneously, they are perfectly positioned to capture the higher growth rates offered by rapid industrialization and accelerating tech adoption in emerging markets, particularly in Asia Pacific. That region, in fact, is recognized by industry analysts as both the largest existing and the fastest growing regional market for industrial gases. Their strategy involves developing deep integration within key industrial basins globally, creating these dense pipeline networks that not only enhance supply reliability for their customers, but also optimize operating costs for Air Liquid itself through economies of scale and proximity.
And this geographic balance acts as an incredibly effective natural hedge against regional economic downturns.
Exactly. Mm. We saw this clearly in the first half of 2025 results. Solid growth in the Americas, up 2.9%, and in Asia, growing 2.1%. That successfully helped offset a more sluggish macroeconomic environment in Europe, which saw more modest growth, around 0.5%.
Right.
This level of broad diversification, layered on top of their resilient business mix and that deep contractual moat we talked about, truly reinforces the stability, the predictability, and ultimately the compounding power of the group's overall earnings profile.
Okay, so with this firm understanding of Air Liquid's internal strengths, how does this all play out in the broader industrial gas market? What about the competition?
Well, the industrial gas market itself has a fascinating structure. It's not some fragmented, hyper-competitive landscape. Rather, it's a highly concentrated oligopoly, globally dominated by just three main players: Implanar, Air Liquid, and Airtronix.
The three major players controlling most of it.
Pretty much. This oligopolistic structure, where a few large players control the majority of the market, inherently promotes, well, rational pricing behavior and disciplined capital deployment among competitors.
Me- meaning they don't usually get into crazy price wars.
Generally, yes. It translates into less cutthroat competition, greater pricing stability, and more predictable operations for the dominant player.
And what's critical here, you mentioned, is that this isn't just cyclical growth tied to the economy's ups and downs.
No, it's underpinned by several powerful long-term structural trends. These represent multi-decade tailwinds for companies like Air Liquide.
And the biggest driver is?
Without a doubt, the energy transition and decarbonization. As the world grapples with climate change and mobilizes to cut carbon emissions, industries everywhere are under immense pressure to decarbonize their operations.
Right.
This creates a massive and growing demand for solutions like low-carbon hydrogen. It's increasingly used to replace fossil fuels in heavy industrial processes, steelmaking, ammonia production, refining.
Okay.
It also drives demand for carbon capture, utilization, and storage CCUS technologies. These are essential for managing emissions from existing hard-to-abate facilities. Industrial gas companies like Air Liquide aren't just participants here. They are natural leaders and indispensable enablers of this transition. They provide the fundamental gases and technologies required.
It's a huge opportunity.
It is quite literally a multi-trillion dollar opportunity unfolding over decades.
And beyond that massive decarbonization trend, you mentioned healthcare as another key driver.
Yes, it's a non-discretionary and consistently growing demand driver. Provides a critical defensive bedrock for the industry. The factors at play are things like an aging global population, more demand for medical oxygen, other specialty gases, also the rising prevalence of chronic respiratory diseases, and just a widespread increase in
healthcare infrastructure investment globally, especially in emerging economies.
So it's stable, predictable, structurally growing, acts as a buffer.
Exactly, a countercyclical buffer for them. Requires enormous and ever-growing volumes of ultra-high purity gases and advanced materials. These are precisely the core competencies of Air Liquide.
Making it a very high-value, high-growth segment.
Exactly. And one that's less susceptible to typical industrial cycles.
And finally, just the basic industrialization in emerging markets.
Yes, particularly robust in the Asia-Pacific region. It just keeps fueling demand for basic industrial gases across a remarkably wide range of applications. Everything from core manufacturing and chemical production to food and beverage processing, even smaller specialized industries.
And Asia-Pacific is the biggest and fastest growing market.
That's right. So it's clear, Air Liquide isn't just a participant in this growing market. It is strategically positioned right at the epicenter of its most powerful and durable multi-decade growth trends.
Which brings us to that crucial comparative question. How does this company, even with all its strengths, stack up against its biggest rival, Lind Kolib?
That's precisely the crux of a significant part of the investment thesis here. Lind Plick is Air Liquide's primary competitor. And since its 2018 merger with Praxair, Lind stands as the undisputed market leader, holding roughly 33% global market share.
Okay.
Air Liquide is a very close second, commanding about 29% share. A deep comparative analysis reveals some distinct differences in profitability, in strategy, in market valuation. And these are central to fully grasping Air Liquide's investment proposition and its, well, untapped potential.
Historically, the biggest difference between these two giants has been profitability, right?
Yes. Lind has consistently shown superior operating margins, typically hovering around 27%.
Compared to Air Liquide's.
Around 20%. Lind has also generally delivered a higher return on invested capital, or ROIC.
And this profitability gap has basically justified Lind trading at a higher price.
For years, yes. It served as a primary justification for Lind's persistent premium valuation in the market.
And their strategies differ, too, in terms of how they use their capital.
Their strategy and capital allocation philosophies also show a notable divergence. Lind, especially post-merger, has really emphasized shareholder return through significant share buybacks and a strong focus on operational efficiency. they often prioritize optimization over maybe large-scale, more speculative growth investments.
Okay.
Air Liquid, while equally committed to performance, pursues a more balanced and arguably more patient approach. It strongly prioritizes long-term industrial investment to capture future growth opportunities, particularly in that energy transition space.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, it maintains a famously stable and consistently growing dividend policy. And this is uniquely supported by its remarkably loyal individual shareholder base. The group holds a substantial 33% of the company's capital.
Wow, a third held by individuals.
Yeah. This deep loyalty grants management greater flexibility and latitude. They can pursue large-scale, capital-intensive, long-duration strategic decisions without facing immediate short-term market pressures.
And this difference in philosophy translates directly into that persistent valuation gap you mentioned.
Absolutely. Lind consistently trades at a significant premium to Air Liquid across key valuation multiples.
Like the P.E. ratio.
For instance, if we look at the forward price-to-earnings ratio, Lind's typically sits in the 32-34x range. Air Liquid's is closer to 26-30x.
Okay. Quite a difference.
You see a similar premium comparing enterprise value to EBITDA, which includes debt. Lind's often at 18-19x versus Air Liquid's 13-15x.
Right.
Now, it's worth noting, Air Liquid's current valuation, while still discounted to Lind, is actually above its own 10-year average PE of around 24.6x.
So the market is noticing something.
It suggests the market is beginning to acknowledge some progress, yeah.
Yeah.
However, that wide gap to Lind remains a central point of the investment case.
So the key question for an investor looking at Air Liquid is that gap justified and is it sustainable?
Exactly. The powerful potential for Air Liquid's profitability to converge towards Lind's level is the single most potent catalyst for a significant re-rating of its stock. And this brings us directly to their meticulously crafted strategic blueprint, the Advance Plan.
Right, the Advance Plan. Launched back in March 2022, this is their roadmap through 2025 and beyond. And what's really fascinating here is how this plan isn't just about, you know, hitting financial numbers. It inextricably links ambitious financial goals with a deep, tangible commitment to global sustainable development.
Mm.
It's much more than just a set of targets. It's a holistic strategy designed to position the company to not merely adapt to, but to proactively capitalize on these profound global transitions.
You're absolutely right. The Advance Plan is structured around four incredibly clear and interlinked pillars. The first pillar is all about delivering strong financial performance. This is the foundation. Aiming to accelerate comparable sales growth to an impressive average of 5% to 6% per year. They're also targeting a recurring return on capital employed, or ROCE, of more than 10%.
ROCE, that's basically how well they use their money to make money.
Exactly how efficiently they use invested capital to generate profits. And most critically, this pillar commits to delivering a significant and sustained improvement in their operating margin. So it's not just about top-line growth, but deeply enhancing the profitability of their core operations.
Okay, pillar two, decarbonizing the planet. This sounds like turning a challenge into an opportunity.
Precisely. Air Liquid has made concrete commitments here. They aim to achieve an inflection point and begin
reducing their absolute scope 1 and 2 CO2 emissions around 2025.
So, starting to bend the curve downwards.
Right. This sets them on a clear path to a 33% Yes. This strategically focuses investment and innovation on five key high-growth markets, where Air Liquid already has a distinct competitive advantage. These include hydrogen mobility, the booming electronics sector, healthcare, advanced industrial applications, and even space.
Space, interesting.
Yeah. This targeted approach ensures their R&D efforts and capital spending are directed towards areas with maximum strategic impact, growth potential, and where they can truly lead innovation.
And the final pillar, acting for all, this sounds more ESG-focused.
It encompasses broader environmental, social, and governance commitments. Things like ambitious targets for gender diversity, aiming for 35% women among managers and professionals by 2025, and ensuring comprehensive healthcare coverage for all employees globally.
So it's a truly holistic plan, marrying financial ambition with societal responsibility.
Exactly.
Now, a strategy is only as good as its execution, wouldn't you say? How have they actually performed against these ambitious promises?
While on the execution front, their liquid performance has been, frankly, exemplary. They've consistently exceeded their ambitious advance targets and built substantial credibility for the market. That's where the story is really compelling. Their ability to not just meet, but significantly surpass their own stated goals.
Okay, let's hear it.
For comparable sales growth, the initial goal was 5% to 6% TGR. They achieved an impressive 6.5% TGR from 2021 to 2024. Robust top-line momentum.
Better than planned.
Yep. For recurring
ROCE, the target was 10% from 2023 onwards. They significantly exceeded this. 10.7% in fiscal 2024, improving further to 11.0% in H1 2024. For investment decisions, the plan targeted about $16 billion in new project commitments between 2022 and 2025. They are well ahead of schedule. Already decided on $12.7 billion by the end of 2024, shows rapid deployment of capital into future growth.
Okay, but you mentioned the margin improvement was the most impressive part.
Yes, the operating margin improvement. This is perhaps the most impactful for their investment case. The initial target set in 2022 was 160 basis point improvement. That's 1.6 percentage points between 2022 and 2025.
Okay.
This target was astonishingly doubled to 320 basis points in early 2024.
Doubled. Wow.
And then in early 2025, it was raised again to an unprecedented 460 basis points over the 2022-2026 period.
4.6 percentage point. That's huge.
It's massive. The first half of 2025 results further underscored this, showing a 100 basis point improvement. Even excluding the energy pass-through effect, indicates they are firmly on track to hit these revised higher goals. Look, a company simply does not raise a key strategic target of this magnitude twice in 2 years unless its underlying performance is running substantially ahead of its own expectations.
Right. It signals real structural change.
Exactly. Deep structural changes, not just temporary efficiencies.
Yeah.
And this directly addresses that historical profitability gap we discussed with Lind. This execution builds immense credibility.
This incredible, sustained execution really does give confidence in their roadmap. But to deliver on such ambitious goals, especially for a company of Air Liquid's global scale and complexity, its internal structure must be fit for purpose, right?
Absolutely.
So what are they doing internally to make sure they can achieve these transformative goals?
Well, to powerfully support these ambitious goals and maintain their agility, Air Liquid announced a significant organizational simplification program in mid-2024. And this isn't just a typical reactive cost-cutting exercise you often see. It's a proactive and strategic measure designed to streamline operations, reduce management layers, create a single worldwide group industrial direction.
Okay, streamlining decision-making.
Exactly. The overarching goals are clear. Boost performance sustainably.
Facilitate quicker, more agile decision-making across their vast global footprint, and ultimately improve the delivery of value to customers and stakeholders.
That makes perfect sense. And speaking of strategy, no discussion of Air Liquid's future is complete without diving deep into that colossal hydrogen opportunity.
Absolutely. While Air Liquid's business model is impressively diversified, its most significant and exciting long-term growth opportunity, I think, unmistakably lies in its leadership role within the global energy transition. The company is actively positioning itself as an indispensable partner for industries across the board that are striving to decarbonize.
And this isn't a small undertaking we're talking about.
No. Analysts project it as a multi-trillion dollar endeavor unfolding over many decades. And crucially, Air Liquid is backing this strategy with substantial, tangible capital commitments.
We're talking concrete, large-scale projects already happening.
Yes. For instance, they are supplying low-carbon oxygen for innovative initiatives like ExxonMobil's blue hydrogen facility down in Texas. That's slated to become the largest of its kind in the Americas. They're also actively deploying their own proprietary technologies, like CryoCap. That's a cutting-edge cryogenic solution designed for capturing and liquefying CO2 directly from industrial processes. It's already being implemented at challenging places like cement plants and other hard-to-abate industrial sites.
So real-world application, not just lab stuff.
Exactly. Tangible action in the field.
And the scale of their capital commitment really underlines this strategic pivot.
It speaks volumes. Fully half of their planned 16 euro in investment decisions between 2022 and 2025 are explicitly dedicated to energy transition projects.
Half their investment, that's definitive.
It's a definitive strategic shift, signaling where they see the most profound long-term growth.
Right.
And within this massive energy transition, one molecule stands out as a true game changer, hydrogen. What truly fascinates me here is how Air Liquide is approaching hydrogen, not as some speculative venture or a buzzword,
right,
but as a rigorously well-defined, meticulously calculated, and crucially de-risked industrial plan. They're making it a practical, scalable business.
That's a critical distinction, because the hydrogen economy can sometimes feel a bit theoretical.
It can.
But Air Liquide is no newcomer here. They're a genuine pioneer in hydrogen, right? I mean, over 50 years of experience across the whole value chain, production, storage, distribution.
Absolutely. Their meticulously crafted hydrogen strategy is designed from the ground up to powerfully mitigate the inherent risks of this nascent economy. Things like the high capital requirements, the technological
hurdles new solutions often present, and the potential uncertainty around demand as the market develops.
And their commitment is huge, billions of euros.
Truly immense. They plan to invest. To achieve this, they have a clear goal: build and operate 3 gigawatts, GW, of electrolysis capacity by 2030. That's absolutely essential for producing green hydrogen from renewable electricity at industrial scale.
And they're not just setting abstract goals. They have actual flagship projects underway.
Concrete projects, yes. Demonstrating their commitment and capabilities. We're talking about the 200-megawatt Normand High PEM electrolyzer project in France, poised to be one of the world's largest, and the ELIGATOR project, another 200-megawatt electrolyzer in the Netherlands.
These aren't pilot programs. These are massive industrial-scale undertakings.
Exactly. Shows real ambition.
And what's this about controlling the core technology? That sounds important.
It's a critical differentiating element for Air Liquide, a significant competitive advantage. Their control of core technology. They've established a pivotal joint venture with Siemens Energy to build a state-of-the-art gigafactory in Berlin.
A gigafactory just for electrolyzers?
Solely for the mass production of proton exchange membrane, or PEM, electrolyzers. This vertical integration is a strategic masterstroke.
It gives them direct control over the supply chain for this absolutely crucial component in green hydrogen production. It helps drive down costs through unparalleled scale. And crucially, it ensures they have reliable access to the leading technology needed to execute their own ambitious project pipeline. They're not solely reliant on third-party suppliers.
That vertical integration seems really key, especially in a rapidly evolving market like hydrogen.
Absolutely.
And their de-risking strategy for hydrogen sounds
particularly astute. They're not just building plants and hoping for customers.
No, definitely not. They're intelligently applying their traditional large industries business model.
Needed industrial basins where hydrogen producers and consumers are co-located.
Why is that helpful?
Optimizes logistics, reduces transportation costs, and creates powerful network effects within regional hubs.
So when you connect this disciplined industrial approach to the bigger picture,
it transforms the high-potential hydrogen market from what might otherwise be a speculative bet into a core long-term industrial business with a significantly higher probability of success and profitable returns.
Right.
Air Liquide isn't merely adapting to the energy transition. It is actively engineering and cementing its future leadership role within it.
Okay, so with this profound strategic understanding, how does all this actually translate into their financial performance? What have the numbers looked like recently?
Well, a deep dive into Air Liquide's financials reveals a company with a long, consistent history of compounding value for shareholders, strong recent momentum, and a meticulously articulated plan for financing future growth while reliably rewarding investors.
Okay.
The analysis highlights that over an impressive 30-year period, the company delivered a compound annual growth rate in revenue of a robust 7.1% and in earnings per share, 5.9%.
30 years of consistent growth. That's impressive.
It is. That kind of sustained consistency across multiple economic cycles is a powerful testament to the inherent resilience and structural advantages of their business model.
And that consistency translates into shareholder returns.
Tangibly, yes. Over a 10-year period, Air Liquid delivered a remarkable 173.6% total shareholder return that includes capital appreciation and dividends.
Pretty solid.
The dividend, too, has been a core, highly reliable component of this return, growing consistently with an 8.14% XAG over the last 5 years.
Cap.
If you look at their 10-year consolidated financial summary, you'll see a clear, steady, upward trajectory. Revenue, net profit, EPS, dividend per share from 2015 right through 2024.
It speaks to a very stable, predictable, compounding machine.
That's a good way to describe it.
And their recent financial performance has been particularly strong, showcasing the advanced plan success.
Absolutely. Even within a challenging global macro context, we're seeing powerful operating leverage at play here, meaning relatively modest top-line growth is translating into much stronger bottom-line profit growth.
Oh, okay.
For the full year 2024, revenue was $27.1 billion, up 2.6% comparable growth. But, and here's the crucial point, operating income recurring, OIR, their core profit measure, grew by a much stronger 10.7% on a comparable basis, reaching $5.4 billion. And their recurring ROCE stood at an impressive 10.7%. Excellent capital efficiency.
And that momentum continued into this year.
It did. First half of 2025, revenue reached $13.7 billion, up 1.8% comparable. Continued top-line expansion, albeit maybe a bit more modest.
Okay.
But once again, OIR grew significantly faster, reaching $2.7 billion, a robust 7.2% comparable growth. This translated into further improvement in their recurring ROCE, which hit 11.0%.
So the profitability engine is really kicking in.
The most telling trend here is that in H1 2025, OIR grew at four times the rate of comparable sales, plus 7.2% versus plus 1.8%.
Four times faster.
That's a profound impact of those margin improvement initiatives from Advance. It clearly shows they are not only successfully translating sales into profit, but also structurally enhancing their operational efficiency and profitability.
Absolutely. It's a very clear and compelling sign their strategy is working. Now let's pivot to their capital allocation strategy. How do they balance investing for the future versus returning cash to shareholders?
They strike a clear, disciplined, and highly effective balance, rigorously reinvesting for
future growth opportunities while providing consistent, predictable returns.
And this is crucial for funding those big plans, like an energy transition, while keeping shareholders happy.
Absolutely. Well on track.
Yeah.
Potentially exceeding it. They've made $12.7 billion in decisions by the end of 2024, including a record $4.4 billion in new project commitments in 2024 alone, and another $2.3 billion in H1 2025.
Okay.
This aggressive yet disciplined investment has driven their investment backlog, that's projects decided but not yet contributing to sales, to a new record high of $4.6 billion.
So that backlog gives visibility into future growth.
Strong, tangible, highly visible indicators of future growth, largely independent of broader economic cycles.
And crucially, beyond reinvesting, they also have this deeply ingrained culture of rewarding shareholders, especially those individual investors.
Yes. Their dividend policy, for example, targets a payout ratio of 55-60% of net profit, ensures a consistent share flows back.
Right.
But there's that truly unique and powerful feature we touched on, the loyalty bonus.
Tell me more about that.
If you're a long-term shareholder holding registered shares for more than two full calendar years,
you receive a 10% premium on your dividend, and you're also allocated 10% more free shares during regular stock attributions.
A 10% bonus just for holding on, that's unusual.
It is. And this loyalty program is, without exaggeration, a distinct strategic asset. It cultivates an exceptionally stable and sticky long-term shareholder base, almost like a dedicated fan club.
Great.
This profound stability in their ownership structure gives management invaluable latitude. They can pursue
to do those massive capital-intensive projects, like in hydrogen, which often have very long payback periods.
Without worrying about short-term market reactions as much.
Exactly. Without being unduly pressured by the short-term performance.
Synthesizing all of this operational, strategic, and financial analysis, we need to assess if Air Liquide's stock is attractively priced. The valuation case, in my view, truly rests on the powerful potential for its market multiple to expand. As it successfully delivers on its ambitious strategic promises, thereby systematically closing that persistent valuation gap with its main competitor, Lind.
Right, that gap we discussed, Air Liquide trades at a significant discount to Lind.
A persistent and notably significant discount, yes.
Across primary valuation multiples, this historical gap is the most salient feature of its current valuation and arguably forms the core of the potential investment opportunity.
So, looking at the PE ratio.
Now, while it's worth acknowledging, Air Liquide's current valuation is above its own 10-year average PE, which was about 24.6x, suggesting the market is indeed starting to recognize some progress.
That wide valuation gap to Lind remains a critical and intriguing point.
Exactly.
So the investment case isn't that Air Liquide is cheap in absolute terms.
No, let's be clear. It's a high-quality industrial leader, valued as such.
Right. Instead, the compelling argument rests on the high probability of a significant valuation re-rating, driven by narrowing that discount to Lind.
Precisely, as Air Liquide continues to execute on its strategic plan.
And this is where that huge margin improvement target comes back in.
This is precisely where the Advance plan's unprecedented operating margin improvement target becomes paramount. Remember, the historical valuation gap was largely attributed to Lind's superior profitability. If Air Liquide successfully delivers on its truly ambitious 460 basis point margin improvement target by 2026, that's 4.6 percentage points of pure margin expansion.
Its profitability profile will converge significantly and quite structurally towards Lind. At that point, the market's historical justification for the current wide valuation discount would be substantially eroded.
The argument for the premium disappears.
Largely, yes. The market appears to be taking a bit of a wait-and-see approach. It's rewarded initial progress, but hasn't fully priced in the successful achievement of those ultimate, audacious
2026 goals.
Which creates an opportunity.
A powerful double-win opportunity for long-term investors. You benefit from strong underlying earnings growth from both sales expansion and A truly comprehensive analysis always requires a clear-eyed, balanced assessment of potential risks. As a large global industrial company, Air Liquide is certainly exposed to broader macroeconomic environments. A severe global recession could impact industrial production, demand for its products, especially in more cyclical parts of its portfolio.
Right.
They're also inherently exposed to inflation, volatile energy prices, geopolitical tensions, potential trade disputes.
The usual suspects for a global company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The energy situation in Europe, while maybe stabilized somewhat, still remains a background risk given the region's importance.
However, you'd argue these risks are substantially mitigated by their business model.
Yes, by the core strengths we've discussed. Their extensive diversification across defensive segments like healthcare and more cyclical industrial markets provides a natural buffer. Most importantly, that unique contractual framework, the take-or-pay clauses, the crucial automatic pass-through of energy and inflation costs, provides a powerful and proven shield for profitability.
Proven during that energy crisis.
Vividly demonstrated, yes. Furthermore, their balanced geographic footprint also significantly helped smooth out the impact of downturns in any single region.
Okay, what about execution and competitive risk? They're investing record amounts, especially in complex new areas.
That's a valid point. Air Liquide is undertaking record levels of capital investment, particularly in large, incredibly complex, sometimes first-of-a-kind projects in the energy transition space. This inherently carries execution risk challenges, delivering on time, on budget, avoiding cost overruns.
Sure.
Plus, competition in the industrial gas oligopoly remains intense. Lind and Air Products are formidable competitors.
Strong mitigants, yes. Air Liquide boasts a long, highly successful track record of executing large-scale capital projects globally, often under challenging conditions. Deep expertise. The very deliberate strategy of de-risking major hydrogen investments by securing long-term offtake agreements with blue-chip partners before committing capital is a game-changer. Reduces demand risk significantly. And the rational nature of the oligopolistic market structure historically has fostered disciplined pricing,
generally limiting the risk of value-destructive price wars.
Finally, what about regulatory and transition risks, especially for things like green hydrogen?
Good question. The economics of large-scale... A significant negative shift, or a reversal of policy support, could impact the financial viability of some future projects. That's true. There are also inherent technological risks in scaling entirely new solutions from pilot phase to full, reliable industrial deployment.
And the mitigants here?
Equally compelling, I think. The global political and societal momentum behind decarbonization is immense. It represents a powerful, multi-decade tailwind that's increasingly unlikely to reverse.
If anything, pressure might increase.
Exactly. Regulatory pressure is more likely to intensify globally, further increasing demand for Air Liquide solutions. Moreover, the company's strategic, deliberate investment in controlling core technologies, like that Siemens Energy Electrolyzer JV, gives it greater command over its own technological roadmap, reduces reliance on third-party innovation or supply chain bottlenecks.
What truly stands out to you about how they managed to balance such significant opportunities with such thoughtful structural risk mitigation?
It's almost a masterclass in calculated growth, isn't it? Really impressive balance. Now let's tie it all together.
So what does this all mean when we distill it down? Our deep dive into Air Liquide reveals a company operating at a truly pivotal and frankly incredibly exciting moment in its long history.
Yeah, the investment thesis is remarkably clear and compelling, I think. Air Liquide's a best-in-class industrial leader, successfully and quite rigorously transforming its profitability profile through the meticulous execution of its advanced strategic plan. Those repeated upward revisions of its operating margin targets, they're not just numbers. They powerfully demonstrate management's profound confidence and proven capability to deliver. Critically, Air Liquide is positioned as a primary and, importantly, de-risked beneficiary of that powerful secular decarbonization megatrend, with a credible industry-leading and highly practical strategy in hydrogen. Despite this formidable positioning and proven execution, the stock still trades at what looks like an unjustified valuation discount to its main peer, Lind Air Liquide, offering a distinct and tangible opportunity for a significant valuation re-rating as that profitability gap inevitably narrows.
Of course, no investment, no matter how compelling, is entirely without considerations. We should acknowledge that. The stock isn't cheap in absolute terms. It's priced like the high-quality company it is.
Right.
And while their progress is undeniably strong, executing on a record level of capital deployment for ambitious hydrogen and margin targets inherently carries its own set of execution risks. Plus, there's always that intense, ongoing competition from a very strong peer like Lind.
True. However, after a thorough, balanced, and deep analysis, the balance of evidence falls decisively and convincingly in favor of the bull case, in my opinion. The recommendation, therefore, based on this analysis, is a BUY for investors with a long-term horizon, people who appreciate quality, stability, and exposure to profound secular growth trends.
Air Liquide presents a rare and powerful combination, it seems. A high-quality compounder offering defensive stability even in uncertain times, coupled with significant de-risked exposure to the most powerful secular growth trends of our generation, decarbonization, digitization, healthcare. The market, it appears, is currently underappreciating the proven credibility of management's execution on the advance plan and the profound structural nature of the margin improvements being delivered.
Yeah, I agree.
The current valuation simply doesn't seem to fully reflect the successful de-risking of its energy transition strategy and the high probability of achieving its ambitious 2026 financial targets.
So considering the multi-decade scale of the energy transition and the fundamental molecules air liquid supplies right at the bedrock of global industry, what stands out to you about how a company like this might continue to shape not just industries, but also global economies and even our daily lives for generations to come? It's a fascinating thought to leave people with.
That's our deep dive for today. We hope you've gained a clearer, more nuanced, and perhaps even surprising understanding of air liquid and the, well, surprisingly fascinating world of industrial gases.
Huh?
Until next time, keep digging for those insights.